You know, there's some pretty amazing things that God does. When he ties things together, he does it in such an amazing way. And I really believe there's a call on the church, not just here, not in our lives only, but everywhere, to start to get within us the reality of the kingdom's message and the way that God wants it presented in and through us to the world we're in. And it's so important that we have to know that and know it well. There's so much in this world that is in opposition to it, that is challenging it, that is coming against it, that is undermining it, and that is bringing it to almost a perspective of being a joke. And Christians are looked on as being like almost like an outcast group instead of being a glorious group. But we're meant to be a glorious group. We are. And God promised that his glory would be revealed and all flesh would see it together. And so we need to recognize that that is to happen while there's flesh and blood on this planet, while we're in a situation where God can see the glory manifested and he can impart his glory around. I love just what we did before, interceding for our nation. I really believe we don't do that enough. This was once called the great Southland land of the Holy Spirit. And I'm saying, Lord, revive it to that again. Revive it to that again. Make this land a land where your Holy Spirit is known. It's seen. You know, in the book of Timothy, I haven't got the reference there at the moment, but it says this. Paul was charging Timothy. He says, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. But he's saying to him, preach the word. Don't preach a story. Preach the word. Preach the word. And I'm wondering if a lot of the stuff we're hearing is actually the preaching of the word. A lot of people say, I believe in Jesus. A lot of people have got a concept of an understanding of God, but you ask them about the word. Oh yeah, I read that every now and then. We need to preach the word. The word must be in us. It must dwell in us richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, the Bible tells us. Why is it that he says to preach the word? In season and out of season, convince, reprove, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. And that's not just something we do in church. That's something that we need to start at in our place of abode, our home. The word must be made, given a paramount position. I love when I was talking to Rake the other day, and he's talking about how they sat at the table and the kids had all had their Bibles out and they were going through the scriptures. Last week when we sat here and we divvied up into two groups and we looked at building a well and what scriptures you would use for certain situations. You know, the one that blew me away the most came from Jonty. Whew. Wow. Bible says a little child shall lead them. That's embarrassing when someone that young brings out a scripture and I'm like, wow, and the way he made that fit. And he put the picture from Psalm 105, I think it was. He said, you can't go in and tell people what to do. You've got to give them the equipment to do it. Wow. They've got to know what is necessary. How do you dig a well? Well, I tried to give you some insight into that, but how do you dig away the dross? Man, did we get that today or what? How do you get through the dirt to get to the water of the well? How do you get through the barnacles of life? You have a look at ships that go into dry dock and they have to be scrubbed down and cleaned. Why? Do you realize how much those little barnacles will slow down a giant ship and its transport through the ocean? It can have the most powerful engines. It can have the most amazing shape to go, get through that water. But I tell you what, if it's hindered by what's hanging on that shouldn't be there, it impedes its passage. And how much does that happen in the lives of people in this planet and even God's people? Even God's people. As Paul said this, for the time will come when they will not endure sound teaching and doctrine, but will according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers and will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned to fables. But be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, and do the work of an evangelist and fulfill your ministry. What's the work of an evangelist? Jesus said, this gospel of the kingdom. You know, a kingdom is all about a king. It's not about all the pleasures of the kingdom. Oh, well, if you're in this kingdom, you know, just ask the king. He'll give you everything you need. Oh, this kingdom, he'll bless you if you'll give your life. It's not about me. Everybody that I've talked to lately is about how much it is about them. And, oh, you know, I'm getting this and it's doing that for me. And I'm going, what are you doing for God? It's about the king. It's about the surrender to the king so that he can be exalted above measure in all things. That to me is what Paul was talking about in Timothy. Well, men will no longer endure sound, solid kingdom teaching, but they'll want to be there for what they get out of it. And they'll be turned to fables. You know, Paul even warned, he said, time will come when they will preach a gospel which is like the gospel we hear, but it's not the real gospel. It sounds like it. It's another gospel, but it's not just out there in other religions and other cults and whatever. That's part and parcel, but that doesn't even sound like the gospel in some instances. What I'm worried about is where the gospel is being preached in the church or talked about in the church that is sounds so close, sounds so good, but it's centered the wrong way. I'm even concerned with a lot of the songs that are being sung that are not focused on God. Wow. I grew up in an era where songs focused on who God was. And there were times where we just worshiped God for who he was. And the songs we sung generated that thinking and that attitude. And we couldn't help but focus on who God was. Now it's, you know, they're telling stories in songs. Maybe that's the fables. I don't know. We've got to come back to just, I need you, Jesus. I need you, and I need to know you more and more intimately, and I need to ensure, Lord, that my life is totally, totally purged to be what you want it to be. I don't want your word to come into my life and become a void so that it can't return to you fulfilling what it was sent to do. So you see, we're meant to be like a receiving transmission scenario for what God does. It then exalts and honors him. That's accomplishing what it's sent to do in our lives. You know, Jesus said in Mark, let's see if I can find this here, Mark chapter 4, verse 19, when he was talking of the interpretation of the parable of the sower, and he talked about how the seed was sown out and then it fell among thorns. And I love what the Berean Bible translation and how it puts it here. And it says, and these others are like the seeds that sown among thorns. They hear the word, but there are things that impede that word. The worries of this life. How many have got worries of this life? We all have them. But do we put them where they belong and cast our care onto him? Or do they impede the word? That's what it says here. The worries of this life. The deceitfulness of wealth. And you can put that as possessions, as things. It's not just riches and money things. You know, today people are so deceived by God. I gotta have this. Gotta have the latest that. And it's become like a millstone around their neck. And then you see interest rates going up and all these for sale signs popping up on houses because they can no longer afford them. You know, and I was watching one of the current affair programs the other day and they were interviewing young couples. And they just said, look, we're coping at the moment. But if there's another 1% rise, we don't know how we'll cope. We're up to here. We're even above, you know, gone. We're below the surface. And I'm like, it's a chain around their neck. It's a bind. And it's sad that those things that you had to have immediately. And it's not even just some of the opulent, wealthy things that bind people up. You know, Fritz and Krista have been witness to some of the trash that people can accumulate. And I turn around and challenge a lady. And she said, oh, but it's all I've got. And I'm like, what? That's all you've got? You know, the $2 shop junk? That's really all it is. And she has spent thousands storing this stuff and you couldn't even get $500 for the lot if you sold it. But it's all she's got. The deceitfulness of accumulating things and it's self, self, self. It's got nothing to do with the kingdom. And Jesus said, the gospel of the kingdom. And I remember as a kid, the fourfold gospel was preached and it was upheld in so many areas where he was savior, healer. Now that's interesting. Savior and healer. Man, not just healing from sickness, but healing us from ourselves sometimes, from our own craziness and ways, and healing our minds and healing everything else about what we were before and bringing us into a new perspective of what God wants us to be. And if we've got to let him heal us today, if you will hear his voice, the Bible says don't harden your hearts, don't become stubborn and think, yeah, I know that. Well, if you're not doing it, you don't know it. Because the Bible says to be doers of the word and not hearers only. For if you are a hearer only, you are deceiving yourselves. Deceiving yourselves. What has God challenged me on lately that I haven't put into practice is what I've been asking myself. God, remind me, bring it back. Whoa, 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 not so much. So It's really quite scary. If you are serious about putting God into that perspective and saying, okay, God, what have I neglected to do? Be prepared for a list as long as your arm. And it's really quite scary. And I'm saying, okay, God, one at a time. One at a time. Let's deal with. Let's deal with. And I believe today he started a whole new aspect of dealing with. You know, we have to deal with things and then we have to dig a well of life when we've got rid of the dirt that is hiding the water of the well. And we have to dig that out and we have to say, God, I need to ensure that I make a well out of this. I want to go from strength to strength, like Psalm 84 says. I want to make sure that I make this experience in my life a place of refreshing, blessing, and life, so that it doesn't entangle me again, and it doesn't hold me back, and it never ensnares my life again, and it makes me change for the glory of God. I never saw that in Psalm 84 until God just brought it out the other day when I was sharing it. As I shared it, I'm like, whoa, I had not seen that facet of it where I had to make the changes in my life and make certain experiences a well. To go on from strength to strength to strength. That's an ongoing force that's in, there's a lot of scriptural things have. We are changed from glory to glory to glory to glory. It's got that ongoing tense to it in the scriptural phraseology and the way they read it. They knew what that meant, that it was something that would continue, not just something that would happen in one instant. And I think today we've got too much of an instant thinking in our churches, in our from our society, and oh, that's happened, that's great, beautiful. No, 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 no. If I'm to be changed into His glory, into His image, I have to be changed and changed and changed and changed and changed from glory to glory to glory to glory. There has to be an ongoing process that I'm submitted to for the kingdom of God, for Jesus not just to be my savior, but the healer of all that is in my life that needs changing. You know, the word of God is quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, divides asunder soul and spirit. There is nothing else in this planet, medical process or anything, that divides soul and spirit. Did you know that? It can only be learned and found out through the Word of God. And the words are life to all that find them. And what does the scripture say? And health to all their flesh. Man, I'm telling you what, this word cannot be impeded by the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and possession, the desire for other things or the passions for other things come in and choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. And I've had to sit down and say, Lord, what other things? What other things? And I've had to look at things like being too busy. I've had to look at things like being too committed to things that are futile and taking up my time. And I'm telling you what, I'm making an effort now to just condense and consolidate and say, right, God, I cannot afford to have this impeding your word in my life. I don't want your word to become unfruitful. I've seen the fruitfulness of God's word and I just don't want it to be thwarted by my life being totally engrossed in too many other things. And it has been. It has been. Been a busy boy. I've been too busy in a lot of things. And yes, I've given time to God. And yes, I've set myself aside to hear God's voice. But I stop and think and I think, well, God, it's not the depth that I want. It's not the fulfillment that I want. We need more. We really do. And we hear that song, more about Jesus would I know. More about Jesus. Well, I'm telling you, the word of God is so inexhaustible. How much more of it do we need? Regardless of how much we've studied and how much we can quote and how much more, you know, I've said this before and I'll say it again. You can take the first four words of the Bible and just live on that and not exhaust its meaning. In the beginning, God. And the beginning of today is God. The beginning of my next breath is God. The beginning of my next meal is God. The beginning of my next decision is God. The beginning of my next thought is God. What is going on? If I don't have God in the beginning, I've lost the plot. I don't want to lose a plot. I've got to keep going. And so when Jesus said that, it's paralleling what Paul said to Timothy. Men will not endure sound doctrine because why? We're too engrossed in what the world's got and what the world's doing and the busyness of life that has given this particular scenario a bit of a kickstart in so many lives. The thorns. You know, I know there are things that attack us, and I know there are things that come against us, you know, but we've got to learn to overcome those things and not let them take us down. Can I just share quickly? Rake shared with me about his job being curtailed, you know, and of course there's a whole heap of we might have to change our ways, we might have to do this, and all the potential changes in lifestyle, but you turn around and you say, Father, I'm in your hands. What's he done, mate? I'm just so rejoicing when I see what God just does and opens doors and changes things from glory. Is that right? To glory? I want you to tell that story as soon as you can, because that stuff just pushes all my buttons and I just say, God, thank you. You know, I heard I'm on my knees. I'm saying, God, you've got an answer for this scenario. You've got the solution. I don't got it. Rake don't got it. The church don't got it. You got it. And if we don't come before him and we let the other things engross us and envelop us, the word becomes unfruitful in our lives. We've got to turn to him. I had a song there, Mash. That last song. Can we do that last song? I need you, Jesus, I need you. This, I hadn't actually seen this song until today, and I thought, I just want to put that on. I just want us to just absorb this. And it's, he is the word is him, they're one. The word became flesh. And if you're going to say, Jesus, I need you, yes, take him in his fullness. He is Savior. He's healer. He's the empowerer of our lives through the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He's the baptizer. And I tell you what, don't just get baptized once. Be being filled, the Bible tells us, with the Spirit of God. Be being filled. And it's like having a well. If it's getting dried up, dig another one. But be being filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves how? In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Just generate that joy, generate that praise, generate that worship. It constantly revives the power and the input of God in our life. Amen? And he's the coming King. So much about that being spoken at the moment because of the world and where it's headed and what's going on. I'm telling you, we'll get into that very soon. I believe God's preparing us for to be a people that are effective prior to his return. And he wants this world changed for his glory. He wants his glory revealed. He wants this world to know he is the King of glory before he bursts through the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Without a shadow of a doubt. And the only way that can happen, he said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Well, I'm telling you, they're doing a pretty darn good job at the moment in some places, but this little black duck is not allowing any gates of hell to come against the kingdom of God in my life. I'm telling you, I'm standing firm and I'm standing fast on God's word and I'm taking what he says for reality and I'm turning around saying, okay, God, I want to be a doer and not a hearer. And I don't want to be deceived. And I want you to put your finger on things that you've told me to do over the years or over my life or even recently that I have heard and think I'm doing and I'm not doing. I want you to tell me, put the finger on it now and make me be aware of what I need to get active in. I want to be a proactive ambassador for the King of Glory. Let's listen to this song, shall we? And if you know it, you can sing along.